You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in the book of Jeremiah today, and instead of taking this microphone off, I'll leave it there. That will be yours, and this one will be mine right here. That means once in a while you can give a grunt or an amen. It's Father's Day today, and I want to speak to you about this home. I love the home. I grew up in a wonderful home, and many of you did not. That does not mean you cannot have a good home. A lot of these folks that just played did not have a good home. A lot of folks that sing in our choir did not have a good home. A lot of people that run our buses did not have a good home or teach our Sunday school classes, but they're having good homes now. And you cannot blame your parents for a poor home. Get to church and learn how to be a dad. Get to church and learn how to be a mother. Get to church and learn how to have a family. Family's so great. And I look back those years, we had those three kids of ours with us. We loved our kids. And then they married one by one. And one's been married, they're all changing now, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. And we've been alone. And we're having a good time, as long as I obey every single day. But we're having a good time, the two of us together. That's where God has us, and 14 grandkids. God's been so good to us. And I'd like to see this nation come back to God, but God will always use the family. He'll use the home. He'll use individuals. I want to say by way of introduction in Jeremiah, let me read a verse, explain it, and then we'll get to where we're going. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord. This is God saying, I want you to listen. A voice was heard in Ramah. Now, Ramah, we know, is a city. It's a city where Rachel was buried. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 11. And there was a lamentation, there was crying, bitter weeping for Rachel, weeping for her children. And there's a message right there, how important it is that we learn to weep over our children, weep for their salvation and weep for living for God and the needs that they have in their lives. Weep that they'd marry right, weep that they'd be good people. But she was weeping because her children had gone into captivity. The Bible says her children refused to be comforted, her children, because they were not. What do you mean they were not? They were in captivity. But in these last days, and this is a last days passage as well, God's going to bring back the captivity of the Jews. And he's going to bring them back from countries of the world to Israel. And for the last 25 or 30 years, there's been every year a growth from all the countries of the world coming back to Israel. Why? They're preparing for that great place called Armageddon, the world war where the nations of the world will come against Israel. Isaiah 38 and 39, they'll come from Russia. That's why everything's being positioned today. And they'll come in from Russia to invade from the north down into Israel. And they'll come from the south, Egypt. And Egypt from Mr. Begin, years ago, we had a detente. But things are eroding now. And Egypt is going to come and invade. Now we've seen the tunnels from Egypt. They come into Israel. 700 miles of tunnels. And they're coming in to destroy Egypt. And they're going to come from the east, the Bible says. That's from China. They're going to bring 200 million soldiers, the Bible says. And they're going to come in and they're swooping. They're going to come from the Mediterranean. And though America's not mentioned, it appears that America, with the Mediterranean people coming on the sea, are going to invade Israel as well. And you know what? God says he'll bless the nation that blesses Israel, and he'll curse the nation that curses Israel. We better be good to Israel. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Then you're a fool. For the fool has in his heart there is no God. This Bible tells us where there is a God. Yeah. There's going to be a bloodbath. That will be in the tribulation. We will already be gone. The rapture of the church will be taken home to be with God. And there'll be a 7-year war and battle. 21 judgments will come on planet Earth. There'll be climate change like this world has never, and it's not made by man. It's still not made by man. It's always God that sends the hail and the storms and the fire and all this going to take place. You know what burdens me, Pastor Cooper? There are many that sit in churches in America that many I love as my members that are lost without Christ. If you're not certain you're saved, friend, the trump of God could sound today. The trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. There's going to be a snatching away of God's people worldwide. The Bible says, taken to heaven. And then this massive tribulation time, 21 judgments be poured out upon mankind. I hope you miss it. And the only way to miss it is not to become a Baptist, but become a Christian. To ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. There was a weeping and her children were in captivity. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Don't cry anymore, mother. Thine eyes from tears. Thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. They're going to regather. This is the foundation of this text. I want you to see two verses that a little bit further, deeper in the text. This chapter deals 28 times with words like sons, daughters, fathers, mothers. In fact, in chapter 31, verse 1, the word family, the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, the 12 different tribes. I'm going to be the God to these families, family units. He introduces family. And this chapter deals these 28 times with family, children, firstborn, husband. It's a family chapter. Would you notice, if you will, please, what the Bible says in verse number 29, and here's where our message comes from, 29 and 30. In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth the sour grape and his teeth shall be set on edge. I don't know in your life, but I can recall as a boy sometimes someone would say, that's sour grapes. Have you ever, maybe I'm too old, have you ever heard that statement, that's sour grapes? Well, you're old, brother, little, yeah. But anybody else ever, that's sour grapes? A lot of folks have heard that. That's Jackie Van Dyke. Your husband must have taught you that because you're not old enough, but after 67 years of marriage. But nonetheless, that's sour grapes. I want to speak today on the subject, sour grapes and rotten teeth. Look at the text. The fathers, not the kids, have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. What dad did, it was passed down to the kids, and it rotted their teeth. That's what the text is all talking about. Let's go back. I'll get to the message. That's where we're going. Verse number 20 is, Ephraim, my dear son, there's a family word. Is he a pleasant child? There's a family word. For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels, my inners, are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. God says, my insides are sick. My insides are troubled because of the judgment that's coming on Ephraim. Because Ephraim just constantly rebels. I'm sick. God takes no thrill in judgment. Our God does not want to be a God of wrath. Our God, the Bible says, he is love. But when we continue to reject God, God sends judgment. And when mankind rejects God, spits in God's face, and says things like on Easter Sunday, we won't celebrate Easter Sunday, but we'll celebrate the Gay Pride Day and Transvestite Day, and our president said that, then guess what? I'm sick in my stomach when our president says that. Amen. God's sick in his stomach. Yes, sir. Destroying the home. Male and female God created. And the Bible says God said, my stomach's sick, verse number 28. And it shall come to pass that like I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy, to afflict, I will watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. God's word is saying there's judgment, and there's judgment because of verse 28 and 29, because dads, you failed. Dads, you failed. Do you know a dad's actions affect his children? Let me say that again. A dad's actions affect the child. Dad's always argumentative. I can't believe it. I'm going to say this. Mood swings. Up, down, agitated, upset. Watch out. Don't say anything to dad. He's kind of bothered today. When dad is all over the map, he's a narcissist. It's all about him. I don't have time for these kids. I don't have time for the wife. I don't have time for the home. Home. I love just singing that home today. Amen. But all of a sudden, when dad is always bitter and always angry and always doing his own thing and always neglecting, it's going to show up. By the way, it's the same with you, mother. Maybe you got a good home, a father in the home, and you've got a mother that's always on edge. Always, everything's a trauma. Chill out. Children ought to watch mother and dad in distress so they can learn how to handle distress. You lose your job, and I'm not happy about that, but you lose your job. You don't have, well, don't talk to dad. He's really upset right now. Grow up. You lose your job, so it's easy for you to say, oh no, before my journey's over, you may get rid of me. And by the grace of God, you want to get rid of me one day and you vote me out of here? I'm not going to tell my kids, all three boys in the ministry, pastoring and serving God. I'm not going to say to them, now, you know what, God's people, they're all the same. Bunch of phonies, no good. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to blame you. You get rid of me, you got rid of me. So it's happened all over America. Some of the largest churches where the men were good men and they served the Lord for many, many years and they were good. I watched deacon boards turn on preachers. I watched men that were good deacons all of a sudden. A preacher told me long ago, a great church, a large church, he'd been there decades and decades and decades. He said, I never thought that some of these great trusted friends of mine would ever turn on me, but they do. But I tell you what, you're not going to hear me go online and complain about North Valley Baptist Church. I'm not going to complain against God's people. I'm not going to criticize you. I hope the whole thing falls apart. You know what? I believe that God, I don't want my kids to watch a bad example. I don't want them to see a poor example. We have politically a lot of poor examples right now. And it's showing up in America. And I believe this thing could change in a heartbeat. How? At an old-fashioned altar on a Sunday morning where God's people want to get right with God. And I don't care what Washington does. I don't care what the White House does. I don't care what the Congress does. I don't care what the Supreme Court does. When God gets in a church, revival could happen. Here they are. And we see this word father that keeps occurring. The dictionary says it's a father, one who is responsible for a child. I'm a father. I'm responsible. You realize today you're responsible legally, socially, financially, security, academically, stability, spiritually, personally. Dad, you're in charge. You're responsible. When your boy is raised and everything's always an issue. They're not fair. I don't like it. I hit the ball and they called me out at first base. We were out by 25 feet. What do you think? Of course you're out. Well, we're all winners. We all get trophies this year. Everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets a winner, a ribbon. Everybody gets a certificate. What's that about? Kids need to learn how to lose. Ask the NFL football teams. It came down to two. The San Francisco 49ers are like some of you would say, whiners. I don't even know the other team that played. Arizona?
I'm sorry, Kansas City Chiefs.
You can go back to sleep. He said Arizona, Kansas City Chiefs. He's had a hard week with youth conference, and it's going to get harder. So say goodbye to your bed. You won't be there for a week here. Kansas City. You know all the rest of those? How many football teams are there? You know, we know the books of the Bible. We don't know whatever they are. They're all losers, 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 losers. Let's start with Seattle Seahawks. Internet people up there that like Seattle Seahawks. Not in this church, you're not. We're old time religion. There's no such thing as a Seahawk. That's not even a bird. They just invented it. Is any Seahawk fans here? Please, I want to find out who you are. Any Seahawk fans? Good Christians. Good. How about up here? Any Seahawk fans? Kids. Are you homeschoolers? Public school? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, good. Okay. They're all losers but one. Do you realize in life you're going to have to learn to lose? Mom and Dad, you're going to go through tension and sorrows and disappointment and setbacks. But God always is going to take care of you. He'll give you a way. He always does. He always comes through. And here's a dad and here's a mother. And you, Dad, you're responsible. You're the caregiver. You're the supporter. You're the encourager. You must have a primary influence on your children's lives. So here, look at the verse. In verse 29, it says a sour grape. Verse number 30, a sour grape. That means, Dad, you cannot eat rotten grapes. You cannot eat something that's going to tarnish your life. Sour grapes. I was eating about a week ago, my wife had a bag of those cherries. Oh, they were good. And I ate one that was not good. It looked good, but it was bitter. That's what a sour grape is. But it's not just sour in this text. It's to the point of fermentation, that it's fermented, that it's vile tasting. It's a stain. And God's word says, Dad, stay away from sour grapes. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from drugs. What kind of example is that for your family? Stay away from mood swings. Stay away from being a 911 internet information or 411 information belt. You know everything's going on in everybody else's life but yours. Stay away from immorality. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from the things that are going to take you away from the things of God. Your children deserve a dad that loves God with all his heart. But you notice there's a responsibility for children too. Dad, you have no right to be eating sour grapes. But look what the Bible says. In those days shall they say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Here it is, children. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. God says, you're going to stand before a holy God, child, wife, dad, for your own iniquity. You know, the word sin and iniquity, we often think they're the same. David said that my sin and iniquity in Psalm 51. In the same verse, God says that my sin, my iniquity, the word of God says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Sin is transgression against God. When we rebel against God, iniquity is often referred to the same, but iniquity is more of an attitude. That's why God says he will visit in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the iniquity upon the third and fourth generation. Now, wait a minute. Every man's going to stand for himself for a sin. God says in the Bible, I'll not stand before God because of I will not be in judgment because of my dad's sin. We blame, well, my dad was an alcoholic, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Not necessarily. That's your dad's sin. But it's amazing when you come to iniquity. Iniquity is an attitude. And I have found in pastoring these 50-something years that attitudes destroy children more than sins. Just because your dad's a drunk doesn't mean you'll be a drunk. Just because your dad is a womanizer doesn't mean you're going to be a womanizer. But when your dad is one that constantly sowing discord and disharmony and anger and frustration, and he's never wrong, be careful, because that iniquity has a way of tainting the next generation, just like sour grapes. It just keeps going. Well, my dad was always yelling at my mom. Then don't you. Your dad was wrong. My dad could never forgive us. Well, then don't you. You'd be like the Heavenly Father. And we live in a society, everyone wants to blame the next guy for your iniquity. I want to blame them. The school did me wrong. The church did me wrong. My parents did me wrong. Our family did me wrong. At work, they did me wrong. Everybody's against me. That is a sissy attitude. Become responsible. As a child, you steal something, be responsible. I recall we had at the... I grew up in a little tiny town over here, 2,500 people. It's huge now, Centerville. I got on my bike with my neighbor, boy David, and we ran down. We didn't have big old grocery stores. We had just a little corner store. And we got in there, and I didn't know what was going on. But the friend I was with, another friend, they took some bazooka-type bubble gum and grabbed it. And the owner of that, I'll never forget, we didn't have over here, we didn't have hardly any Hispanics. We didn't have any blacks, hardly. We didn't have any Koreans. We didn't have any, I didn't know what a Filipino was till I came here. And Filipinos didn't start coming until the late 70s, generally. And I'm so grateful. I'm the most blessed pastor in all the world. We got a Chinese ministry, an Indian ministry, a Filipino ministry, a Spanish ministry, a Brazilian ministry, a Caucasian ministry. I love it. That's God's blessing. That's God's blessing on this place. The nations of the world come here. And did I say Indian? It's just amazing what God's done for us. I remember we had about three or four families in our little city that were Chinese. And that guy had his white apron on. He didn't speak English. But I remember him starting to run after us boys. And those guys said, "Go, Jack, go!" I got on my bike. I got down to the street and I turned on the other street. I said, "What was that about? What did we do?" And they opened their pockets and said, "Look what we got." Now, I wasn't a good Christian, but I had enough sense to go and say, I'm not part of that. And I went and saw my dad when he came home from work. I said, "Dad, here's what happened. I was about in second grade." My dad said, "You know that was wrong." I mean, he was making me responsible. I didn't even do it. And so we're going to go down there tonight. "Dad, I didn't take it." He goes, "You're going to be back in that store. I want you to have a good name, son. went down there and said, this is my son. Here's what happened. Tell him. I remember having to tell that owner what happened. You know what my dad was doing? Brother Poussin is making me responsible. But that's not fair. I need a therapist. And I imagine we have a lot of therapists in this church, but I tell you what, I've never met a normal one. I've met a lot of therapists that are marriage therapists, and they're on their third and fourth marriage. God's saying, you children, you're responsible. When's the last time you told your mother, children, that I love you, Mom? Well, we're not that type of family. We'll change. You look at your mother and you tell her how much you love her. If you have a dad in the home, train up a dad in the way he should go. I know it says train up a child, but train your dad. Ladies, a good wife trains her husband. A good husband trains his wife. A lot of the training should not be, sit down, woman, I'm going to teach you some things. No, it should be, you're a good wife. That's encouraging. So that was a great meal. Now, how did you cook that? Well, you put it for 20 seconds into the microwave, and it comes out that way. It's great. You don't have to complain about everything. I am 1,000% glad I'm a man. I have no desire to be a woman. I'm going to help as much as I can. I changed diapers when we had kids. I love helping around the house if I can. But I tell you, for me, I'm not going to learn how to cook. Now, you say, well, that's where I'm at. Well, God bless you. I'm going to tell you something. I do not want to complain about my wife's meals. I want them to continue to come. My wife's maiden name was Swanson. So she thinks that we own Swanson Frozen Foods. And if you think that's true, I don't think we've ever had a frozen dinner before. One time, never time. I want to go home this afternoon. We're done. Dad, you eating sour grapes? I have. Frustrated, bothered. I've not always been a perfect person. But I've had enough sense to say I'm sorry. I don't want my teeth stained with sour grapes. And that sour grape then taints the children because they have teeth that are on edge. It affects their teeth. Because the family is so important to the nation. I know people probably think I'm crazy to say this. I just believe the home's going to come back to God.
Amen.
I just believe it. I believe there's going to be two things in my life, if the Lord lets me live, revival and rapture.
Yes, amen.
He's not willing that any should perish. It would just be in God's character to send one last sweeping revival to get us so right with Him that we'd be ready for eternity. If you're here and you've raised a family of sour grapes, don't judge yourself. Just do everything you can to get it right in the days that God gives you ahead. Our Father, I love these people so much. I long to be with them on Sunday. I thank you for our guests that are here. God, it's so easy to get soured with arguments, disagreements and battles and wars and being offended in the home, husbands and wives. And we pass that spirit down, that iniquity down to the next generation. Keep us from it, God. May we love those little children. Just love them. May we play with them and pray with them and precept them in the Word of God. I pray if there are dads in the homes, they might be engaged in the life of the wife and mother and in the children. I pray for the mamas that you give them wisdom, many raising these children, being wife and husband, being mother and dad. Give them wisdom. May the children be very appreciative. Some are being raised by grandparents or aunts and uncles. May they be grateful. Dads, I'm coming to you with our heads bowed. Would you make this annual day, which is Father's Day, would you say, I'm going to change. I'm not giving my kids sour grapes anymore. I'm going to love their mama. One person said years ago, the greatest thing you can give your children is a love for their mama. I'll not criticize mama. I'll not attack mama. Sir, I'm talking to you. How many dads say, I need to be paying attention to what's been said here this morning. I don't want to feast off of sour grapes. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? Hands are going everywhere, everywhere. God bless you, man. Yeah, sure. That's the kind of man you are. God bless you. Thank you. Good man. God bless you. You may put them down. Hands everywhere. That's why it's such a joy to pastor a church like this. Go to some churches, nobody raised their hand. God bless you, man. Ladies, are you giving sour grapes to your children? To your attitude, your negativity? I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a child in the home. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I'm in the home as a wife, as a mother, as a child. Hands are going up everywhere. God bless you, ladies. You may put them down. I wonder tonight, today, how many are lost without Christ? Would you come to know Christ? In a moment, we'll stand, the pianist to play. A man will be here to show a man how to go to heaven. A lady will be here to show a lady how to go to heaven. It just takes a few moments. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, work in this invitation, we pray. Bring dads down this aisle. May we restart on this June 16th, 2024. May we throw away the sour grapes.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.